Would take your Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Preacher did not forewarn me about his theme before this message, but I thought it was interesting how it all tied together. And a lot of you may know where I'm going. It'll be Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I got a little sneak peek Wednesday night of our theme, and it was nothing more than I had to know because of the PowerPoint presentations and stuff, but it had no bearing on my message tonight. This message was kind of set in stone, and the Lord had already kind of showed me this and said, this is the direction I want you to go, and this is what I want you to preach and how I want you to preach it, and it's just amazing when you see God work. When you see him tie the hearts of different men together all at the same time, men that preach God's word. And, listening to Sunday school this morning, listening to the messages that have recently been preached, and then finding out about our theme, just kind of how God just tied everything together, just always amazes me. And I've seen that happen on multiple occasions. But Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 14 this morning, or this evening. And y'all bear with me, I'm going to do the best I can, and as of right now, I'm not in any kind of pain, so let's pray that the Lord will keep it that way, and his will be done tonight. It says in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh wherein he laboreth? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you tonight for the blessings you bestowed upon us as Christian people. I thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to be able to stand here tonight. Father, I thank you for the, Lord, just the power that you've given me to be able to do that tonight, Lord. Realizing, Father, how quickly that could be taken away. I thank you, Father, for your hand of protection. Father, I do pray tonight that you would have your will done in this service. Father, would you remove me from anything that would be in and of myself, Father, and just fill me with your Holy Spirit power, Lord. I'm desperately in need of you tonight, and you know that, Lord. You know anything I do in and of myself would fail, Lord, but with your Holy Spirit power, Lord, that people can be encouraged, people can be motivated, Lord, and I just pray this what happens here tonight. I pray that, Lord, you would seal my lips against anything that would displease you, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would use me according to your will, and I thank you for it. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The verse I want to focus on tonight is kind of verse 8. It says, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Look at Joel chapter 2, and I'm going to do a lot of flipping. I got a lot of verses that I want to cover, but Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, I'll give you just a second to get there. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 reads, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even unto me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. You know, here in Joel, it calls for us, it says, rend your heart and not your garments. So many times people see us when we're in a struggling time and when we're hurt and when we're in a bad way in and of ourselves, they see the outward appearance. They see us rending our garments. They see us broken down, weeping, crying, mourning. But what is your heart like during that time? Where are you at really during that time? It says here, and rend your heart and not your garments. All the time, our hearts should be rend towards God. with the way this world is going and our town, our nation. I think I was reading something just a little bit earlier today. I think it was yesterday evening. They had a officer here in town that his vehicle got shot. He had made a traffic stop, had cleared his traffic stop and everything. Said he was walking back to his car, heard a loud thud, and I guess they're whatever they have in place that they was called in as shots fired anyhow. And he said he kind of got cleared up, walked around the back of his car, and he's got a bullet hole in the back of his car. And I thought, wow, how quickly things could have gone wrong in that situation. Yeah. You know, had whoever shot at him had a little better aim, you know, or maybe a different heart. Maybe they did it just to scare him. I don't know. But to think about those things that are going on here in Tarver, you know, and like I said, don't say that to scare anybody, but it's reality. Where is our heart at because of things like that? Where is our heart at because of our town and the area that we live in and our community? I'm going to read something that I've kind of had. I was going to wait till the end to read it, but I'll read it now so you can kind of know where we're going with this. It's for those of you that know me, I read a lot of motivational poems and things, and I try to apply them to my Christian walk. It just kind of helps me out a little bit. And recently I've preached on several of these poems, but this one says, "I am a Christian, make no mistake. I will defend the weak. I will defend freedom. I will sacrifice so that others may live free. I will defend my family to the death. I love peace, but I am a fierce enemy. I live by the word of God. I live with honor. I was born to be a warrior." Going back to what we read in Joel chapter 2, "Rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God." Every warrior that comes up begins who he is and who he is defined as with a broken heart. And I say that to the sense of, I ask this question, why is it with fasting and weeping and mourning that the Lord asked us to come to him? We read that. It says in verse 12, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even unto me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning." He didn't just say, turn to me with your heart, but with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Why is that? Because a warrior is born from a broken heart. That warrior has to have some sort of motivation. He has to have something in his life that gives him a direction to go. He has to have something that motivates him in a time of battle. He has to have something there that's worth fighting for. I asked this question to myself as I studied this out and said, what's the difference in a slave and a warrior? I think about Xerxes and the mighty army that he had. But what motivated those that followed him? What motivated his soldiers? A lot of it was fear. They were nothing more than slaves. You think about this. A slave, motivation is fear. They're blind. All they can see is fear. They feel like they're alone in battle. They can't depend on the one to the right or the one to the left because they're also slaves and they're also fearful. And what does an afraid man do? He turns and runs. They never give 100%. They're never sold out to the cause that they're fighting for. And they don't understand the cause. They have no purpose. They're there because they're afraid of what would happen if they weren't there. Amen. They're more afraid of what that one person could do to them than what the cause is. A warrior, on the other hand, is motivated by love. He has a clear sight and clear vision, the path that he needs to take, and that's all motivated by God. God gives that to him. He knows his friends. He knows the one to his right and the one to his left is just as motivated as he is. He knows he can depend on them. Likewise, we as Christian people here in this church, we know who we can depend on. I know if I need Brother Joe, I can call him. I know if I need my pastor, I can call him. I've got friends out in the world, and I call them friends. They're more acquaintances. They're not really friends. But they're people that I see on a day-to-day basis. If I picked up the phone and called them, they'd find an excuse why not to help me. But I know the people here are truly friends. We always give our best as a Christian person, or we should. So a warrior will always give 100% because he understands and he believes in the purpose of the battle.
Amen.
He sees the cost. He sees the cause that he needs to follow. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. I'll flip over here and read that. And I said we were going to do a lot of flipping. And I apologize, but it is what it is. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14 says, moreover, from that time, hold up, I'm in chapter 5. Chapter 4, verse 14 says, and I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. Why did he say that? Nehemiah was in the midst of building a wall. For those of you who know this text, I preached on it a couple of times probably. But Nehemiah was in the context, he was building a wall. He was going back and doing God's purpose for his life. And he had all these people here with him that were standing with him. And he said here, says, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Basically, he was calling on them to remember the cause. Remember their purpose. Remember what they have here that's worth fighting for.
Amen.
But it didn't stop there. It says, fight for your brethren. Fight for the one that's closest to you on your right hand and on your left. It says, for your sons and for your daughters and for your wives and your houses. A lot of times, what's more important to us than our family? I'd give a whole lot for my family. You know, and I would expect each man in here would. Each brother would give everything they could to help their family. So that's something that's worth fighting for.
Amen.
John chapter 18 and verse 36 says, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. I think our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knew the cause, and he knew the battle.
Amen.
When he made that statement, my kingdom is not of this world, he knew that he was here for a purpose. And it was not his time to fight. So he restrained those angels that he could have called at any minute. He restrained those men from time to time that were with him. I think about Peter in Luke chapter 22. I'll flip over and read that. If I can get to it. Luke chapter 22 verse 50 and 51 says, and Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far? Oh, excuse me. Let me back up. Verse 50 says, and one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. This was when Jesus was being taken in the garden. We all know that was Simon Peter that drew his sword and he smote the ear of that one that was about to take him. It says, and Jesus said, suffer ye thus far, and he touched his ear and healed him. Jesus restrained him at that point in time when they were ready to fight. Sometimes when we're ready to do battle, he'll restrain us. But other times he says, now it's your time to fight. I can tell you it's our time to fight for this town.
Amen.
If nobody else will, we should. But if we don't, nobody else will.
Amen.
You know, I sit and I think about what we've done all these years. And we've been through multiple things. We've been through a lot of trials and a lot of tribulations here at this church just since I've been here. We've seen a lot of good things happen, and we've seen some disappointment from time to time. But the cause is still the same.
Amen.
The cause has never changed. It's to do God's will.
Amen.
It's to go out and witness and testify to these people. It's to be an outreach to these people here in this community.
Amen.
That is our purpose here. That is what we were called to do. I sit and I think, and I look at Brother Joey. I look at how far he drives from Kinley. Brother Wilson now driving from long distances. These men are dedicated to this church. We've got people that are here in town, that Miss Vicky and Miss Jodell and Miss Helen. They're dedicated to this church. Been here week in, week out, through the tough times. I think Miss Vicky's been here since the beginning. But tough times that they've been through. The pastor been here 11 years now, I think. Is that right? 11 years? And think about all the trials and tribulations, the ups and downs that he's gone through. But the cause has never changed.
Amen.
God has kept him steadfast, as he will keep each of you steadfast. So I ask this question tonight. Are you a warrior or are you a slave? You can't be both. You will be one or the other. And it's a choice you will make. Our Wednesday night crowd, we talked about choices the other night. We make choices every day. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. My hands stick together sometimes. And my pages. Romans chapter 13 verse 12 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. I think about a song that Joe sang, let the lower light be burning. That's our armor of light. You know, I was sitting there thinking about this as he was singing that song. And in kind of a prayerful attitude, I started writing this down and I didn't get a chance to finish. But it said, Lord, help me as a warrior not to cower in fear, but to shine my armor that it might shine brightly and be an encouragement before other men.
Amen.
I sit and think there are times and, you know, there are times when you may need to hide. That isn't our time now. This is a time when we should stand boldly. When our armor, I think about the knights back in the early centuries that, you know, they when they came out, they had gold and silver, stainless, that was polished. It was to perfection day in and day out. You know, I think about even recently, I don't know how many of you know this, but our military has switched over from a shine polished boot to a more dull boot because of snipers. Those shine polished boots kind of give away their location a lot of times. But I thought about that and I said, should we as Christian people be afraid of our enemy? Should we? That's a question I've oftentimes asked. If we know we're saved, we know God's in control, and we know we're part of his army, then absolutely not. We have no reason to be afraid of him.
Amen.
However, on the flip side, if you're not saved, you're not where you need to be in your walk with God. You're not where you need to be as a Christian person. Maybe you're saved and you've strayed a little bit. That's a time when you should be afraid. Because Satan's going to be there and he's going to be attacking you day in and day out and trying to tear you down, trying to tear your testimony down. He does that. That's what he does best.
Yeah.
But if we're walking with God, we don't have a reason to be afraid.
Amen.
So if we're walking with God, how do you polish your armor? How do you make it where it's a light that shines? That when somebody takes that beam and the enemy's kind of looking out and they're looking across the way, that it pops, it glitters, it shines. It shows exactly where you're at. How do you do that? Well, you start out in prayer. Every day when you wake up and you pray, you're taking a polishing cloth and you're polishing on your armor. Every day when you dig into God's word, you polish a little more on your armor.
Amen.
Every day when you speak out of God and you encourage a brother, you're polishing your armor and his armor.
Amen.
Every day when you go to work and you maintain that testimony, when you go to school and you keep that testimony of being a good, godly man, you're polishing that armor. You know what happens, though? Sometimes we get to a point where we feel like we fall into a little bit of sin. We get to work and somebody's telling that dirty joke, and instead of turning and walking away, you listen right in. That happens from time to time, right? Well, what's that do? It puts a scuff mark on your armor. It dulls it a little bit. So my challenge is to keep polishing your armor day in and day out. Stay in prayer. Keep yourself around godly people that won't lead you in a wrong direction.
Amen.
Keep yourself in a position where you can read and study God's word and grow in him. Be that man that your armor shines where Satan knows exactly where you're at. Because if he knows exactly where you're at and you're shining for God, that means God's going to be right there with you. He's going to be in front of you, and who's going to be fearful then?
Amen.
I can promise you it won't be you. It'll be Satan who's afraid of how mighty and powerful God is upon your life.
Amen.
And that's what we want as Christian people. That's what we want as being good soldiers. 1 Timothy chapter 6. If I can find it. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession." You think about what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. What he did leading up to that day. What he did when he was brought before men and they were trying to ruin his name. They were trying to smudge his reputation. But it says, fight the good fight of faith. When I ask the question, are you a slave or are you a warrior? I expect the answer from every Christian in here to be, I'm a warrior. I would expect that. Why? Because it's what we're commanded to be. Because we know what's worth fighting for. We've read the book. We've read and we've understood that we have victory. We've already been promised that victory. So why would you want to be a slave and fight on the losing side? Why would you want to be used by the one who's ultimately going to lose? I would much rather stand with God and stand for Him and know that I'm on a winning side and know that I cannot be defeated because He's with me. That's where we need to be as warriors. Second Timothy 4:7 says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." A lot of times that verse is used at funerals. I've known men of God that have passed on, great preachers that have passed on, and I've heard that verse read at their funerals. And I sit and I think, you know, one day I hope that can be said of me. But I don't want it said by men. It doesn't matter to me if Brother Joe says, "Oh, Jonathan was a good guy. You know, he did everything just right." I'd appreciate it, but that doesn't mean a whole lot to me. What's going to mean something to me is when I walk in as a soldier of Jesus Christ, amen, and I get to heaven's gates and He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
Amen. Right.
That's what I desire. I don't desire the things of this world. I don't desire all the praise. There's a lot of men that do. That's not what we should have a desire for.
Amen.
Our desire and our focus should be on God. So I sit and I thought about this thing. And I ask myself, can I make this statement? Can I say, I am a Christian? But make no mistake, Christians aren't weak. We're not feeble. We have no reason to be. So, I am a Christian, but make no mistake, I will defend the weak. You know who the weak is? It's those ones that are lost and dying and on the way to hell.
That's right.
It's our job to defend them. It's our job to go forward and rescue them from the darkest places that they're in. It says, I will defend freedom. When Satan says you're enslaved to this world, no, you're not. You have the right to defend freedom.
Amen.
I will sacrifice so that others may live. I think about the countless hours that Brother Wilson's put in, our pastor's put in, and many others. I think about that, what the sacrifice is, the toll it takes on the family sometimes just to be obedient to God. It is a sacrifice. But you know what? It's not really. I will defend my family to the death. What's important to you? Those that are sitting beside you. Do you live your life in a way that your children, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister sees Christ in you? That's defending your family. I love peace. I don't have a desire to be at war with anybody. I didn't start the battle.
Amen.
It says, but I am a fierce enemy. If my armor is polished and I'm stand ready and I'm ready to go, then I am a fierce enemy against Satan. But it's not in me. It's because of Christ that lives in me.
Amen.
That I can be that fierce enemy.
Yes. Amen.
I live by the word of God. Do I really? Do you really? Do you study God's word, know God's word well enough to live by it? I live with honor. Thought about what it really meant to live with honor. You know, sometimes we can see ourselves and live one way here at church, and then go home where nobody else sees us except our family and live a completely different direction. Is that honor? I don't think so. We ought to live the same here today as we do out there.
Amen.
And be an example. And of truth, I was born to be a warrior. Christ has called me, and when I became saved, I became a soldier for him.
Amen.
It is my job at that point in time. I see the motivation now. I understand it. I understand that I have a purpose. I have something worth fighting for.
Amen.
And when my commander-in-chief says, get up and fight, it's my responsibility to get up and fight. Because I know the end result. I know what's worth fighting for. I know there are souls that are lost and dying and on the way to hell. And that's worth me getting up every day and reading and studying God's word. And that's worth me going out and spending time away from home and spending time away from my family to see souls saved and to see people come to Jesus Christ.
Right. Amen.
It's worth me being a warrior.
Yes, sir.
Is it an easy task? Absolutely not. But it's a whole lot easier when we're obedient. So my challenge tonight is to have this prayer. Lord, help me as a warrior not to cower in fear, but to shine my armor that others might shine brightly to be an encouragement before all mankind. Don't just be an encouragement to those in this room. Yes, that's a responsibility. But be an encouragement to those that are outside that are dying and lost and on the way to hell. Tell them about Christ. Show them. Don't just go out and speak in words, but walk the same walk that we've been commanded to by Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight for your blessings. I thank you for your Holy Spirit power. Father, I thank you for the way that you've worked in my life here tonight, Lord. Lord, I've not felt any pain here this evening, and I just thank you so much for that. Father, I thank you that that was not a hindrance to me this evening. Father, we've seen you move here tonight, and I just pray, Father, that you would continue to move in our lives. Lord, I love the way you've worked in our lives. I love the way you've worked just in the messages that have been brought today, the encouragement that's been in my life, Father. And I pray that you would help us to live the things that we've heard here today. Father, not just to speak them in word, but to do these things with honor and dignity that you've given us. To be warriors for you. And we thank you for it. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Pastor.
Amen. I'd like us all to sing 401. Before we do, I realize that this song doesn't really seem to match up with being a warrior